destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family.
Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is.
This is James, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fire it up, hold up.
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the money gets.
Dave's not here!
Alright, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
Hello. Howdy. How's everybody doing? On this Tuesday, the 29th day of November, 2022. I'm going to miss that part. 2022. Time's flying, huh? Hell, it just seems like the other day we were put on lockdown. We were told we're not allowed to go out without a mask and wash your hands over and over and over again. Well, they were allowing other conditions to harm us. And without even care. Without even giving a shit. So, you know, hey, here we go. What is this? Oh, it's too long. So that won't be able to be played. That is too long. I think I wanted to play this one, and I might have played it the other day, except I didn't poke the to-go. So let's do it anyway.
And the most powerful, secretive black technology in the world, including some that we brought over from the Nazis, and a lot of what we're dealing with goes back to the fact that we've had since then 50 to 60 years of incredible non-transparent governmental flows going into basically corporate-controlled technology that many of us don't understand.
Apple, Microsoft, and Tesla. All three have been on a roll since mid-June.
New concerns tonight about the social media giant's role in fake news and elections.
These firms have too much power, our economy, and democracy.
Everything they're doing online is being watched, is being tracked. Every single action you take is carefully monitored and recorded.
Their personal data, which is like gold.
We have this trusted digital identity built.
Ja, en bij mij gingen er heel veel vraagtekens. Wat is een digitale portemonnee?
10 of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals cannot be met without first closing the identity gap.
Digital identity is an absolute horror.
Das kommende Jahrzehnt muss Europa's digital decade sein.
We won't be able to do that with traditional systems.
The regulation for the EU digital COVID certificate.
Vote is closed and it is adopted.
The passport infrastructure is in place. You bring in that digital currency and you've got this total control.
What happened? Where is the critique of capitalism itself, which has led to a system of horrendous inequality?
Were you going to make it worse? Seriously, with inflation and things like that? Ugh. Amsterdam, 2022.
Across the globe, our identity is being traded for billions of dollars. How is it possible that something so seemingly elusive as our data has so much value? Data is the new gold, and this is the gold rush. But what does that mean for us? What does it mean for our privacy and for our freedom? Wrapped in a veil of marketing, grand narratives, and noble causes, we are presented with a future which may be less rosy than it appears.
No doubt.
The Next Web is one of the world's leading tech events. One of the speakers is the former CIA and NSA contractor, Edward Snowden. In 2013, he blew the whistle on the large-scale spy activities that the US government conducted on citizens and governments worldwide. His message is clear.
The idea that there was a system of global mass surveillance in the United States, in the United Kingdom, in Australia, in New Zealand, in Canada, right? The media treated this possibility as a conspiracy theory because they could not see why. When we got the evidence, things quickly began to change. But what threats are we missing today? And I think when we look at what's happening as like these post-pandemic restrictions, everybody closes borders instantly. Then you've got to install apps and like all of these different changes. And then just a few years later, you've got in China, 25 million people in the city of Shanghai who are not allowed to leave their apartments, who are not allowed to even order groceries. Like if you couldn't leave your apartment, if you couldn't order groceries right now, how long would you last?
Right.
I think this is where we are moving toward a moment in history right now that we all feel things are going wrong. Everybody sees like the plate beginning to slip in slow motion. We're all reaching it to try to catch it. But if we had known that plate was going to fall, we would have a better chance to catch it. And I am worried that the plate is going to break. Banks are the biggest example right now where, you know, they can cut you off at any moment. You have your money in their hand, and they're supposed to, be good stewards of it. But we have begun to see people dislocated from their accounts because of protest activity, right? Because of the movements they support. But governments realize they have new tools that they've never had before. When there is such a popularity, when there is such a dependence on a certain structure, on a certain network, how do we leave it? How do we depart it? How do we progress from it? How do we recognize that the system as it exists today is not good enough? And to recognize that it could be better, and to recognize that it should be better, and to recognize that individually and collectively we can make it better. But it will not become better unless we force that to happen. I don't mean violently. This can be achieved nonviolently. And I think this is both the great challenge and the great hope of our time. And we are being asked by history in this moment right now, what are we going to do with it?
Spearheading these developments is the digital identity. The digital ID industry is a booming business. According to analysts, its potential revenue is $30 billion in 2024, which could rise to $50 billion in 2026. It should come as no surprise that big tech corporations like Microsoft, IBM, and MasterCard are heavily represented in the lobby for a global system of digital IDs.
Jedes Mal, wenn eine Website uns auffordert, eine neue digitale Identität zu erstellen oder uns bequem über eine große Plattform anzumelden, haben wir in Wirklichkeit keine Ahnung, was eigentlich mit unseren Daten passiert. Und das muss aufhören. Und aus diesem Grund wird die Kommission demnächst eine sichere europäische digitale Identität vorschlagen. Eine, der wir vertrauen und die Bürgerinnen und Bürger überall in Europa nutzen können, um alles zu tun, vom Steuerzahlen bis zum Fahrradmieten. Eine Technologie, bei der wir selbst kontrollieren können, welche Daten ausgetauscht und wie sie verwendet werden.
Arno Wellens is an author and investigative journalist, specializing in finance. For his book, The Euro Gospel, he has immersed himself in the policymaking of an ever-expanding Europe. Wellens keeps a watchful eye on the progress of the European digital ID.
Welcome to this press conference following the Euro.
Hoe het praktisch eruit ziet, de Digital Identity Wallet, is dat jij straks een appje hebt op je telefoon. En daarin zitten eigenlijk al jouw wachtwoorden en je rijbewijs, bankafschriften en elektronisch patiëntendossier. Dat zit allemaal in één appje. De Europese Commissie heeft gezegd, nou, wij komen met een toolkit in het najaar van 2022. En daar zitten alle elementen in en alle eisen en de middelen over hoe dat er specifiek uit moet komen te zien. Maar mensen krijgen straks een app op hun telefoon waarmee ze zowel in social media als met hun bank, als met mail, als met de overheid kunnen communiceren en hun vaccinatiebewijs kunnen tonen. Dat is hoe het er praktisch uitziet.
A European Digital ID is in the works for every EU citizen. An app will enable us to identify ourselves with our smartphone and choose which personal data we wish to share, both online and offline, with government institutions and private companies throughout the European Union.
Oh yeah, sure.
A so-called digital wallet will enable various attributes to be incorporated into it, such as government records, insurance documents, travel documents, personal data such as social media accounts, bank records, diplomas, credit card records, medical records, and vaccination status.
Of course.
As founder of Privacy First, Bas Filippini keeps track of all digital identity developments.
Kom ik uit de tijd van idee, plicht, nee. En we zitten nu al in de fase waarin we dus hebben over digital ID, waar al je informatie op staat. En met uitsluitingsmogelijkheden om deel te nemen in het sociaal maatschappelijk verkeer naar de stuk.
The plans for a digital ID have been around for much longer. But the corona crisis gave governments free rein to fast-track a QR code ID system as part of the digital COVID certificate.
Toen werd op een gegeven moment gezegd, nou ja, dus als je gevaccineerd bent, of je hebt een herstelbewijs, of je hebt een testbewijs, dan, als je aan een van die drie voorwaarden doet, krijg je een coronacertificaat. En
die derde G, de test, kom je dan niet meer binnen.
Voetbalveld te controleren of jij wel je...
Introduction of the Green Certificate in the European Union. Terhege is of the opinion that foremost, more transparency is needed concerning the contracts for the purchases of 1.8 billion vaccines, a deal that Ursula von der Leyen personally negotiated with Pfizer. The European Court of Auditors also requested an explanation, to no avail. It wanted to know how the contracts came about, on the basis of what scientific evidence, and of what conditions. But von der Leyen refused to share the text messages that she sent to Pfizer's CEO.
Right.
So after a lot of pressure in the parliament, as the article says, these contracts were disclosed to us and to the public. And I want to show you some of those pages. And you tell me if this is okay for the European citizens to be exposed to this situation where they cannot come to work. They cannot enter a store. They cannot go with their kids to schools, where they cannot freely move from one country to another, unless in one situation he's vaccinated with one of these products. So these are the contracts. These are the pages.
In a free society, freedom, liberty is the rule. So you see how they change the relationship now. Now in order for you to freely move, you have to explain or you have to show certain things in order to have the privilege to freely move.
But COVID is an infectious disease, right? So it's...
Well, it is. But everything that they've done had nothing to do with COVID. COVID was just a pretext. But what I know for a fact from different sources inside of the European Commission is that even before the Green Certificate was approved initially by the European Parliament, the Commission was already talking to certain companies, you know, to build up the infrastructure.
And here is mine.
Like 5G.
So everyone who is fully vaccinated or tested negative or has recovered from COVID can get one.
The idea for a digital ID originated before 2011. The OECD, an organization with 38 member states, set up to stimulate economic progress and world trade, wrote a report that advised governments to adopt a digital ID strategy. And in 2017, the European Commission released its first action plan for the creation of an e-government with a digital ID for all Europeans.
Eerste wat er gedaan werd, er moest een app komen. Nou, ik heb ook nog in die commissie gezeten over de app. Waarom moet er überhaupt een app komen? En wij waren als Privacy First, waren we dat principeel tegen. Maar dat is gewoon doorgedrukt. Nou, veel langer waren ze al bezig met die app. En hiermee kon een versnelling gecreëerd worden. Dus, en die app is in feite al een eerste stap naar digital ID. Nou, dan is het...
take place. And I think for the past couple of decades, certainly the terrorist events of September 11, 2001 was used as one of those paradigms of control of society and was used as the excuse for the implementation of all sorts of measures that would not have been doable, really, without that justification, that presumed justification.
In response to the attack on the Twin Towers on September 11, 2001, George W. Bush signed the Patriot Act, a controversial bill that would make it easier for the American intelligence agencies to surveil and eavesdrop on citizens on a large scale. The act was to be temporary, but this act has been extended to date in modified form and also has implications for American companies beyond the national borders of the U.S.
Today we take an essential step in defeating terrorism while protecting the constitutional rights of all Americans.
Oh, you're a liar.
With my signature, this law will give intelligence and law enforcement officials important new tools to fight a present danger.
What we have seen over the past couple of years is the rollout of the next iteration of the paradigm of of governance for the planet, which is the biosecurity paradigm. It is now not in the name of some turbaned boogeyman hiding behind some corner who wants to blow you up. Now it's the virus that's hiding behind some corner and wants to infect you. And one of the obvious techno-solutionism answers to this problem is the COVID passports, the vaccine certificates. The specter of this was floated almost immediately in the wake of the lockdowns and other things that we saw in March of 2020. So the vaccine passport becomes the Trojan horse to the digital identification. Once people get used to the idea that they are going to have to present their vaccine passport in order to be allowed to travel to a different country, or even to travel to a different region within their own country, or even to go shopping, then it isn't a large step to say, okay, well, now we are going to implement that exact infrastructure for all access to all government services, access to leave your home, and people will be more willing to accept it.
So it seems that the COVID pandemic has opened the doors to a new era, an era in which control and surveillance are facilitated and further normalized. A digital ID, to which all our data is linked, seems to be the ultimate means to this end. But the question arises, where does this push towards the centralization of our data stem from? And whom does it benefit?
Er zijn twee redenen om dit te willen. En de ene kant is omdat er handel zit in jouw data, want als al jouw data aan elkaar gekoppeld zijn, dan kunnen analisten die kunnen kijken wat jij allemaal uitgeeft, hoe jij te beïnvloeden bent. Er zijn mensen die jouw bestedingspatroon en jouw eetpatroon willen koppelen aan medisch onderzoek. En dat heet een European Union Dataspace. En daar zitten gewoon alle gegevens van mensen in. En al die plannen liggen er al. Daar zit een hele industrie achter, de bedrijven die appjes bouwen bijvoorbeeld.
The French defense and tech company Thales is one of the corporations that is involved with the development of the EU digital wallet.
Hello everyone, meet Lucy, student in psychology. And me, her digital ID wallet issued by the government to offer a wide range of identity services. In fact, I'm a handy way of proving and protecting her identity both online and face to face. Let's have a closer look at what I can do. I can help governments to better communicate with citizens. Right now, I'm reminding Lucy of the appointment she needs to schedule for her mandatory vaccination.
Yeah! All right, this just is wrong. This is so effing wrong. People!
Hoe sterk is die technocratische lobby vanuit techbedrijven? En
heel groot.
Coming through a number of groups that are identifiable, that have identifiable memberships. You could look, for example, to ID 2020 Alliance and its founding partners, including Microsoft and Accenture and the Rockefeller Foundation and Gavi the Vaccine Alliance. Or you could look at something like ID4D, the World Bank project, which boasts among its membership the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Omidyar Network, the UK government, NORAD, which is attempting to introduce identification for development.
Across the globe, we see a range of large NGOs cooperating with governments and central banks to develop the digital ID, such as the ID4D initiative, a project of the World Bank, and the ID 2020 Alliance, a partnership between mainly big tech companies such as Microsoft and Accenture, and philanthropic foundations such as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation.
Nou, wat je ziet, achter de digitale identiteit is de industrie. Dat is een heel duidelijk verhaal. En de industrie.
Founded by the German engineer and economist Klaus Schwab.
Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it's my great honor to participate for the 8th time at this important meeting.
The World Economic Forum is a lobby organization, known mostly for its annual gathering in Davos, Switzerland, which is attended by 3,000 paying members and selected participants, among them investors, CEOs and political leaders.
In de politiek wordt ontkend dat zij grote invloed hebben. In hoeverre is dat waar?
Nou, dat klopt natuurlijk niet. Een lobbypartij heeft altijd invloed. De lobbyisten lopen in en uit in Brussel. En dat geldt ook in de Verenigde Staten, dus dat ze geen invloed zouden hebben, dat vind ik echt puur naïviteit. Vervolgens zijn er natuurlijk brieven, ook naar buiten gekomen, door WOP-verzoeken, waarin heel duidelijk wordt gezegd, neem een voorbeeld van de minister Kaag, u doet mee aan deze werkgroep, strictly off the record. Waarom strictly off the record?
In December 2021, the Dutch government made binding agreements with the World Economic Forum. Namely, the execution of projects launched by the World Economic Forum, such as the Food Innovation Hubs, a network for global food innovation.
You will eat insects and...
So the World Economic Forum can initiate specific public-private partnerships in the Netherlands. And the Dutch government directly adopts policy goals from the World Economic Forum. One of the ways the World Economic Forum influences governments is the publication of research papers. It is common for these to be copied directly into the policy directives of governments. In 2016, the World Economic Forum published the report, A Blueprint for Digital Identity. Stakeholders worked on the research for 12 months, among them ID 2020 Alliance, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, MasterCard, Visa, Deloitte, the ING Bank and the Dutch Civil Service, DigiD.
Uit hun jaarrekening blijkt dat ze elk jaar zo'n 370 miljoen euro krijgen. En daarvoor gaat...
The Dutch Secretary of State refers to two reports. One by the World Economic Forum and one by McKinsey. The World Economic Forum mentions three causes for the rollout of the digital ID.
All right, we'll go back to that because I only have a minute. But this is literally... If I didn't stop smoking cigarettes for a reason... I would probably be smoking a cigarette right now. This is irritating. This is pissing me off. Good thing I have my bowl. Yes, and my hemp burning tool. Except it always smells like I just blew out a candle. But that's all right. I can get used to that. It really has worked good, this hemp wick that you light. And then you put it instead of the butane. And I've appreciated it. I have to get more already, but that's all right. Get the stuff. Get prepared, people. You want to be owned and ruled by these agendas? Because otherwise, start using cash. Start making sure. And don't go to places if they think you have to use just the debit card, etc. Because this is wrong. In my mind, their behavior towards us is really, really wrong.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on The Brian Roux Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Did I bring up that we are listener supported and that you should go to the homepage and do a donate click, a donate click, a donate click? I think I forgot to mention that. But that's okay. This is just outrageous. This is just like, the Petri dish is getting so ugly that these people, I mean, if you've ever seen and you haven't, you got to find it, the series Fringe. This is like what it is right now. We're on the fringe of some kind of bullshit. I didn't get into technology for a reason. And all the youth and generations since the iPhone have all been glued and are only, they're owned by their iPhone. I don't use mine except to make calls and texts. Now, I know people my age that use it for everything. But I just, that's what the computers are for. They want everybody to be walking around carrying their phone so they can survive. This is bullshit. This is utterly bullshit. Crazy. Effing crazy.
Refers to two reports, one by the World Economic Forum and one by McKinsey. The World Economic Forum mentions three causes for the rollout of the digital ID. The prevention of an exponential growth of various login data. The lack of control over user data. And that 70% of European citizens do not finalize their online purchases, causing a loss of potential revenue for web stores. The McKinsey report indicates that digital ID would offer economic opportunities. But this is based on research done in various developing countries, such as Nigeria, India, and Ethiopia. So in the end, its economic rationale appears flawed.
Die webwinkels, Amazon, bol.com, die en hun lobbyisten, die hebben berekend via een Deens bedrijf dat er voor $4 trillion per jaar aan impulsaankopen niet doorgaat. En dat komt als jij op je telefoon zit. Hè? Als jij reclame ziet, dan gebeurt het heel vaak dat mensen moeten inloggen. Ze moeten een paar stappen doen. Vanaf het zien van de reclame tot de daadwerkelijke betaling. Yeah. Waarmee de koop definitief is. En dat zou makkelijker.
Ook commissaris voor digitalisering is gewoon benoemd.
Dat lasted from 1967 to 1989. With the corona measures, such as the introduction.
Dat is gevaarlijk.
It's dangerous. Yes, it is. It's so getting too dangerous.
Everybody's pretending.
that we live in a democratic process, but we are not.
This is literally 666.
We have some people in power, usually unelected people, unelected bureaucrats, who are not answering to anybody. On top of that, they are lacking any kind of transparency.
Right.
You know, everything is segmented. You just see, you know, a proposal comes on your desk, and usually there are backdoor deals before a proposal come to us. And seeing what was happening, for example, with the green certificate, what is happening now with many other things where there's clearly lacking any kind of transparency, this is a problem.
Christian Terhej grew up in Romania during Nicolae Ceaușescu's oppressive regime that lasted from 1967 to 1989. With the corona measures, such as the introduction of the European Green Certificate, Terhej is very concerned about what are, to him, recognizable patterns.
Everybody in Romania was under severe distress back then, and fighting for pretty much for survival, because they rationalize food, they rationalize electricity, they rationalize gas. If you dare to complain or to oppose, for example, what was happening, you were immediately persecuted by the Secret Service. Seeing what is happening right now all across Europe, especially now being a member of the European Parliament, I don't want that experience again by Western Europeans in this case, and this is the reason why I'm heavily fighting for fundamental rights, for freedom and liberty.
We're sort of at a knife edge at the moment. If we carry on going down the same path that we've become used to, and younger generations just take for granted, I think we are all going to be absolutely royally screwed, privacy-wise, human rights-wise, even democratically.
Annie Machon is a former employee of the British intelligence agency MI5. In 1997, she and her ex-partner David Shaler became whistleblowers by lifting the veil on large-scale illegal spying by British intelligence agencies. Among other things, David Shaler revealed to the newspaper The Mail on Sunday that in 1996, the British Secret Service paid £160,000 to various terrorist organizations, with the goal of assassinating Muammar Gaddafi, then leader of Libya. A number of his bodyguards were killed in the assassination attempt. Knowing the paper was about to publish, Machon and Shaler decided to escape to Europe.
If you're traveling around Europe and you know that MI5 and the secret police are hot on your trail, because we've been on the inside, we knew all the tricks of what they could do in order to trace us. You had to pay everything in cash, you couldn't use ATMs, you couldn't book hotel chains because they could find out through those systems. So it's very much a case of just getting on a train with no warning, not prepaying for any tickets, disguising ourselves. So we keep moving around all the time.
After what Machon had seen and experienced, she became an author, activist and public speaker. With her knowledge of data security, she fights for more privacy and security online.
Yeah.
What we are effectively facing to our lives online are a number of key threats. One, of course, is the intelligence agencies, the sort of state-level national actors that have this panoptic power to scoop up all our information globally. There's also the other threat from corporate spy companies. I suppose the most notorious over the last few months was something called Pegasus.
Pegasus is spyware developed by the Israeli cyber defense company NSO Group. It is capable of being remotely installed without a trace, for instance via a missed call on WhatsApp, and offers complete access to every smartphone or computer. Pegasus was used for spying on activists, journalists, and political leaders from various countries across the globe, and is still being used worldwide to this day.
Well, sure.
And then I think the third vulnerability for us when it comes to privacy, we the people living our lives online, would be what I call the data farming, the data harvesting, which is what the big corporations do. They monetize our data. I mean, most people are aware of that aspect. But the sheer extent of how that can be micromanaged and microanalyzed, I think has only become more obvious to some people over the last few years.
In March 2018, the social media platform Facebook landed itself in hot water after sharing its users' personal data on a large scale. In collusion with British political consultancy Cambridge Analytica, the personal data was used to manipulate the 2016 US presidential elections and the Brexit referendum, with highly specific targeting and misinformation.
Tonight, Mark Zuckerberg once again facing skeptical lawmakers, pushing him on Facebook's failure to protect its users' private information.
It seems as though you turned a blind eye to this, correct?
Congressman, I disagree with that assessment.
Never before in history had personal data been abused on such a large scale. And so authorities agreed that this should never happen again.
The other issue around the spies and the corporate spies is they can't even protect their cyber weapons that they used to do their spying with, which means that they can fall into the dark web and be used by criminal hackers. Right. So you have a situation where even the CIA and the NSA cannot protect their own classified information. And that's why I would suggest that things like digital ID is counterintuitive to everything I've been talking about for the last 25 years. Because effectively what we're doing is we're handing over, for convenience, the concept of our personal identity. You can just plug into all your government services. And they say it's going to be private. But can they guarantee it? Because who is going to own the hardware on which it's stored? Who is going to run the software which runs it and organizes it? Who is going to own the infrastructure, you know, even the fiber optic cables going across the Atlantic or across the Pacific? So I don't trust our governments or our institutions to be savvy enough to protect that sort of very private information, which will be our whole scope of us online,
right,
and do it in a meaningful manner.
Our data has never been safe online. History teaches us that it is nearly impossible to protect citizens from hackers, corporations, and governments themselves. And yet we are meant to believe that the digital ID will offer a safe solution for all our centralized data.
Je hebt straks één plek waar alle digitale buit zit samengebald. Dus je hebt één.
Ever since he became a parliamentarian, he has fought for more expertise regarding digital money. Now that the central bank digital currency is on the horizon, he is concerned about the technical decisions made by the ECB.
Het ontwerpen van munten en biljetten, dat was tot daaraan toe, maar het ontwerpen van echte digitale geld, dat heeft echt verstrekkende consequenties, moet dat ook zomaar kunnen.
We tend to establish the equivalence with cash, and there is a huge difference there. For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also we will have the technology to enforce that. Those two issues are extremely important, and that makes a huge difference with respect to what cash is.
Carsten says that central banks desire absolute control over how the money can be spent. This implies a huge level of control.
You have to understand that the Bank of International Settlements was created, and the primary reason it was created was not the stated reason. The primary reason it was created was to create a bank that had sovereign immunity. And since the Hague Convention, they have figured out ways of extending that sovereign immunity around the planet and combine it with sovereign immunities that other organizations have been able to build and get, you know, like the WHO and the UN. And you've created a breakaway civilization.
Yes, they have.
That thinks it has sovereign immunity from all national constitutions and basic laws.
Catherine Austin Fitz is an American investment banker, formerly the managing director of investment bank Dylan Reed. She was also Assistant Secretary of Housing for the Bush administration in 1988.
They have been pushing towards a system that will make the economics of total central control work for them.
For them.
That's what you have to understand. You've got a group of people who can just print as much money as they want out of thin air, or were able to do it until the commodity producers, you know, had a fit in the last couple months. So as long as you could print money out of thin air and trade it for labor and commodities around the world, you had all the money in the world, right? What's important is not money. What's important is controlling real assets. So what I try and do is I try and get the general population all interested and enamored with money while I'm trying to control the real things, including the people. You know, one of the big questions is going to be, will banks exist? Because you can do everything digitally at the central bank. But it also means that the central bankers can dictate the rules,
right,
of when and how you can use your money.
So dat... Een belangrijke inhoudelijke wens van de Tweede Kamer hier is dat anoniem betalen mogelijk blijft. Dat privacy, wat er nu al is voor het
system that can keep track of the carbon footprint of their customers. And in 2019, MasterCard introduced the first credit card that automatically blocks itself when a set carbon emission quota is exceeded.
What?
Since then, we've seen banks across the globe developing such payment systems in partnership with tech startups. Barbara Baarsma, CEO of the Rabo Carbo Bank, advocated on Dutch radio for a carbon budget for each Dutch citizen.
Als we nou eens iedereen, laten we beginnen in Nederland, die uitstootrechten verdelen en dat elk...
Reduce interest rates to below 0%.
Rechten afstaat aan de overheid om iets te doen met een stukje belasting.
Reduce interest rates to below 0%. Annual reports of the ECB show this to be a recurring topic for discussion.
De centrale bank die heft dan belasting, vermogensbelasting eigenlijk, op jouw spaartegoeden. Kan dat naar eigen inzicht uitgeven? Het is voor jou een last, hè? Als jij negatieve rente hebt, dat is gewoon geld.
Het bestaan van contant geld zorgt ervoor.
Many big players for quite a long time have been engaging in this war on cash, trying to push you away from the cashless slowly but surely. But when COVID came along, they really used COVID as an excuse to accelerate that process. A good example is the example of Visa and the NFL, actually. So Visa entered into the deal with the NFL to make their Super Bowls go cashless in 2019, before the pandemic, but they implemented it in 2020. And the narrative that was built around that was that it was because of the pandemic. In reality, though, major health bodies like the Robert Koch Institute in Germany, which is a preeminent health research institute, have come out and said there's no connection between cash and COVID. In fact, they've pointed out that things like self-checkout touch screens and the PIN pads of these card terminals are a greater threat of spreading COVID than cash.
That's right.
And what's really interesting is that in places like London right now, a lot of these big retailers use it as an excuse for quote-unquote going cashless. But now a lot of the other COVID regulations have been dropped in places like London. You don't have to wear a mask anywhere, and yet the retailers are still claiming that cash transmits COVID, and they're still using it as an excuse to stay with these digital payment systems. And it starts to essentially shame people for using the cash system. But if you think about it, the cash system is the only thing that stands between you and corporate domination of the payment system.
That's right.
Als commerciële banken dan ook nog eens allemaal geldautomaten gaan weghalen, bankfilialen,
geld van de centrale bank,
ja, dat,
van de regering, een standpunt.
Je had in Canada, had je wat protesten tegen Trudeau, tegen
far-reaching means of control.
That's right.
At the moment it's already quite easy for governments to use the financial system to, you know, impose sanctions, to block truckers from receiving payments because they disagree on their political ideology or they disagree on the form of protest. So we already have those means. The question is whether a central bank digital currency makes it easier to do this. And I think the answer is yes.
Sure.
Technology-wise, if you have a more efficient currency, the risk of abuse is also there.
En wat je nu dus al ziet gebeuren is dat overheden zichzelf het recht willen kunnen geven om...
And a government be elected that is more draconian, more authoritarian than we have been used to in the West since World War II, then that means that our digital ID will be wide open to abuse, to surveillance, to predation, and, you know, potentially, as the Nazis did, arrest and deportation. It will make it so much easier for any ill-minded government to do that in any of our countries.
Right.
This is exactly as it happened in communism. In Marxism, they said, no, people do not have rights. they have privileges granted by the government. So as long as you comply with what the government says, they will grant you those privileges. If you don't comply, or you're an enemy of the state, for example, they will take those privileges away from you. And slowly we see this kind of mentality being implemented in the European Union right now. Because from a mentality, slowly but surely, they will implement this into laws.
And that is the ideology of technocracy, which is essentially a quest to transition humanity from the beautiful, messy state of organic nature into humanity 2.0, where everyone will be tracked, traced, and databased everywhere they go at all times, and can then be fed into algorithms which will be able to determine the best course for society.
Think of this as a financial control grid, okay? And all you have to do, you've been building it, and you've been building the infrastructure and the smart grid to build it. You only need to add two last pieces, and then it snaps into a digital concentration camp.
The problem is these people behave like they are gods, that we have to trust them and we should not question them just because they are in power. Well, because they are in power, we have to question them.
That's right.
Because power corrupts. Power anywhere corrupts. This is the reason why us as citizens and you guys as journalists, you always have to keep an eye on what someone in power is doing.
Als je kijkt naar de relatie tussen burger en overheid, ik vind dat het een burgerplicht is om een overheid te wantrouwen. Dat is eigenlijk het hele idee van democratie. Maar wij hebben op dit moment al een samenleving, een architectuur gecreëerd waarin dat wantrouwen wordt georganiseerd richting de burger. Daar zijn we nu al en dan moeten we nu de bankiers gaan vertrouwen over wat er met het geld gaat gebeuren. En daar mogelijkheden worden ingebouwd om onze vrijheid nog verder gaande mate te beperken. Dat lijkt geen goed idee.
The technical developments are gaining a momentum that we have not experienced before. With exponential growth, driven by large profits of tech giants and a centralist appetite for control by central bankers, huge steps are being taken to build a technocratic network around us. The democratic process seems barely capable of keeping up with these developments, and our freedom and privacy are at stake. This places us in a grey area. Because the question arises, how much are we prepared to surrender our privacy and our freedom for convenience? And what can we do to channel this movement to our benefit?
I think people need to start looking for and leveraging all of those things that they can do to detach themselves from a system of technocratic control. And what that means in specific terms, I think, is creating and fostering communities of interest where people will be able to voluntarily and independently choose to come together to interact on the things that they want to accomplish, rather than being put into systems where you have no choice, you are simply another cog in the machine that is being constructed.
Technologie wordt ook vaak op een soort deterministische manier gepresenteerd, hè? Van ja, weet je, dit is gewoon hoe het gaat. Maar dat is natuurlijk de grootste leugen, want als er iets maakbaar is, is het technologie. Maar je kan wel degelijk in de fase van het ontwerp van die technologie, kan je fundamentele keuzes maken. En op basis van die fundamentele keuzes kan je ervoor zorgen dat bijvoorbeeld de privacy van burgers beschermd blijft. Kan je ervoor zorgen dat uitsluiting niet mogelijk wordt gemaakt of heel moeilijk mogelijk wordt gemaakt.
Door middel van technologie kun je juist veel beter op dit moment decentraal organiseren. Samenwerkingen op andere manieren in gaan vullen en de technologie ten goede gebruiken om meer vrijheid, meer vertrouwen en meer liefde in de samenleving te bewerkstelligen. We moeten wel naar verandering en daar staan we ook op het punt, maar we kunnen naar een hele positieve verandering. Ja, en die komt vanuit onszelf en niet vanuit geld, macht en ego.
You know, if tomorrow everybody woke up and said, I'm going to pull all my money out of every systemically important bank. You can't, there would be a revolution tomorrow. It would be fabulous. So the first thing we can all do is, for God's sakes, take the system analog as much as you can. So whether it's using cash or getting rid of your smartphone, just get out of the digital system.
You should be asserting your right to use cash. You should be challenging any shop owners that prevent you from doing it. You should also be challenging any authorities that prevent you from doing it. So, for example, in Amsterdam, the tram system will prevent you from using cash. Many places will prevent you from using cash. You should be standing up against that, saying, hey, this is actually not a good move. This is not in our interests. And even if you think it might save, you know, a bit of time and so on, in the long term, this is bad for our economic system.
So obviously that means a rejection of systems that try to catalog and reduce human nature down to a digital ID, a biometric face scan or fingerprint or something along those lines, and more towards natural, organic, lived humanity of face-to-face interactions.
For those who are left,
we are clearly at a crossroads in history. A crisis is forming that we cannot yet foresee. And the call for a new system and a new form of society is greater than ever before. But the question is whether this should be a centralist, tech-driven society, or whether we can use this technology to work together in a decentralized way for a sustainable world.
Sturdy energy.
With guaranteed privacy, self-determination, and freedom.
Dirty energy.
Do you believe they will eventually succeed?
No, I think they're going to fail.
Yay.
I really think they're going to fail. You cannot run a complex system with this much top-down control because it's going to break down and it's going to make a mess. It's too antithetical to how intelligence and resources work on this planet. It's just simply incompatible with life.
This place, not because of those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. That's really so true, isn't it? Just in case you missed it, and you might want to be able to read what they're saying. I just could not handle reading it to you people. I apologize, but I woulda if I coulda. Yes, I woulda if I coulda. But hey.
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? mystery. Real Natural Law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Hey, all right, let's show them what we got there.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie, Mona Radler.
Welcome on and all, we're back here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Tis the 29th day of November, 2022. So, this will be an interesting one. Don't even really want to play it, but you know what? Life is happening and I'm sharing with you. No.
New Zealand, I've never needed your help like I need it for this story. It's the story of Will. He's 4 months old. He needs open heart surgery. To have the surgery, he needs blood. And the parents of Will want to put in unjabbed blood. They have to have it cleared by the blood bank. And the blood bank will not clear their right to choose unjabbed blood for their young baby.
Oh, God.
It's a desperate story where the powers in the hospital are backing up the blood bank and the parents have felt absolutely helpless and powerless. We jabbed, unjabbed Kiwis all need to get behind them. One day, someone you love may need unjabbed blood. That's what this story is about, the right of all of us to choose.
But isn't there synthetic blood on top of it? So what if they had that third choice? And that they would put, like, synthetic human blood into this infant. Just to see what the heck would happen. Oh, I just had to bring it up. I just had to put it out there. Because jabbed or unjabbed, which is very fine. I think it's a great idea. To know where your blood's coming from, right? Boy, it makes me see Jehovah's Witness in a whole new light.
Yes, we have one more. Hang on.
These are from Auntie Tricia.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
What colours are...
Sam and Cole, we don't have a lot of time to muck around with this interview. We are in Starship Hospital. We've got Jack. I just want people to see what your life is like. You've got Jack, who's how old?
2.
You've got twins, who are how old?
4 months old.
And we've got one twin whose heart is compromised. What's happened with little Will?
He's got severe pulmonary valve stenosis.
And severe means he needs open heart surgery, is that right?
So nice.
I mean, almost immediately.
All right. And we're just going to deal with, hey, little Jack. That's okay, that's a helicopter.
Have a look at it.
Okay, so why I'm here is because I came to a meeting in which I saw two parents, new parents to twins, under huge stress, begging, literally begging, a surgeon and a doctor to listen to your needs. Sam, what are your needs?
Basically,
Jack,
you're all right. We want the surgery to go ahead straight away as soon as they can schedule it to happen. We are hugely concerned with the blood that they're going to use. Yep. So we have therefore asked if we can have direct donor blood. They have to use blood for this operation because it's open heart operation and it's a bypass machine. So they've got to put blood in there. You want to say a bit more on that?
Cole, can you tell us your thinking behind that?
Well, they had to prime the machine up because they stopped the baby's heart. Then, in order for it to all go the way that it's supposed to, blood needs to be in the machine to keep his body working while they're operating on the heart. And so the whole thing is, you know, we don't want blood that is tainted by vaccination, and that's the end of the deal. We're fine with anything else these doctors want to do. They are in their field, they're the best doctors for the job, but they're not flexible and not educated in what we all know to be the truth, which is the blood bank's compromised now with vaccinated blood everywhere.
Absolutely. So it's a little bit, the metaphor could be like the Mormons say we would like to use our blood in an operation. It's a little bit like that. This is what the world has turned into. I've checked with some other doctors and they've said, no, you should absolutely have the right to say the blood you want to use. But is it going to cause a huge amount of extra problem for them? Is that why they're saying no?
No.
What? How have you avoided it causing any extra stress? What we've done
is we've organised all the donors. They're all ready.
The donors you've organised?
Yeah, we've organised all the donors.
Not the hospital. How many is that, Sam? That's
got
to be...
We've got at least 20 plus.
Yeah.
This is O positive blood.
O positive, O negative pediatric donors. Who we've already screened. We've got them to do the sample test. So they've been screened.
They're all approved by the blood bank to be donors.
Can I just set this? They've got twin babies. We've got little Jethro here who's fine. We've got Will who's desperately in need of surgery. You've got children at home as well. You've got this little toddler. You are new parents to these twins and you've done all of this. The hospital has not done it.
No, they won't do it.
Sam, how are you coping with that much stress as a new mum?
It's not good. It's very, very, very stressful. Very, very stressful. it's a nightmare, really. I just want it to be over.
Yeah.
Where is the humanitarian aspect of this hospital? Because I have to say, I was there with you in the meeting. I did not see it. I saw a doctor and a surgeon who marched out of that room in high dudgeon, in high offence, simply because politely we said, what is the block? Are you feeling you have, Cole, maybe you, have you felt they've been humane to you two as new parents?
Well, they could be better.
Yeah.
You know, they're, who can tell what they're like? But, I mean, we all know what's going on with people that have had that injection. Maybe that's half of it.
We know, like, I still have high regard for those doctors because they're brilliant at what they do. But there's a big block for us right now, and they're part of that block.
Yeah.
And we just... So Blood Bank wouldn't even come to the meeting.
That's right.
They wouldn't even come to the meeting. They said they were going to send an email, and I think that's incredibly spineless and disgusting.
Yeah. And disrespectful to you.
Yep.
And unprofessional.
That we are talking a matter of life or death for this beautiful little soul.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Who is, you can see he's calm. He's like an old soul in a little body. What is there? Do you know what the blood bank's protest is? Why they will not?
They say there's nothing wrong with the blood that they're offering. And they say they've got machines that, you know, filter the blood. So that's what the doctor said. I don't know what the blood bank's saying at all because they haven't said anything to us.
Yeah. It is disgusting. And
there's new photos that I haven't seen of semi-healthy blood containing little pieces like specks of rice that are not normal. And then bigger squares and other magnetic parts. Well, I'm saying, I don't know why I said magnetic, okay, but there is strange stuff, unknown square objects, lifeoftheblood.com, if you want to check it out.
The surgeon this morning assuring me that it was, as far as he knew, it just was not even a thing that the spike protein was in the blood. And I asked him if he'd looked at Dr. John Campbell. Mm. And he said no, he wasn't even aware of him.
That's right. You know, and that's, you know, a lack of knowledge anyway. You know?
Yeah. So what we've got is a situation that's urgent.
Yeah.
What do you need?
Super urgent.
What is it you need?
We only need a signature on a piece of paper, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and that says that we can, you know, supply the blood that we require for the baby. You know, I mean, the baby has got a heart situation, and the heart is what pumps the blood. And then there's, you know, suspect things about this blood. Everyone knows it, but a lot of people are ignoring it. And he's got to have the best blood. You know, and I mean, it's everyone's right to, you know, choose what they have for their surgery, and we're not getting that respect out of these people.
This Prime Minister assured us this would never be forced on the New Zealand people. She assured us that we wouldn't be forced to be jabbed, and having the baby get jabbed blood.
Yeah,
does
that's
that
right.
feel like it's a form of forcing the jab?
That
in
is well, exactly. But the thing is, even in our country, with the ruin it is, you're not allowed to inject a baby of that age, but yet they'll put the baby into a situation where he may have blood that's come from someone that's had 5 injections. And so, you know, how does that
equate?
We're just
not willing to take a risk. Yeah. We can't take a risk with our baby who already has a heart condition.
And you are adamant that it's your right to choose.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it should be.
And it's a bigger picture too, that there's hundreds of people, you know, needing the same situation that don't want, you know, their wishes, you know, disregarded. So it's a bit beyond Will, even though that's our concern. You know, Will is needing the surgery, but there's so many others that are still going to be just forced to have this draconian, you know, institution, you know, put upon them.
Now, the head of the blood bank, Sam, would not come to that meeting this morning. I want you to look down that camera. I want you to speak to him. We don't even know why he didn't turn up, but just talk to him as a mum going through this hell.
Well, yeah, I am horrified and disgusted that you wouldn't even have the decency to talk to us and to talk to me as a mother when you're clearly standing in the way of our baby getting the blood that he needs for this heart operation.
No.
And we just ask you, please, you know, please, can you just come to the party with it, with this?
Cole, what would you like to say?
Well, it seems to me that you're a person that has a great deal of power over people's lives, and you're misinformed about everything to do with your position. And so I would call for you to resign and get someone in there that knows what they're doing, because it's clear that you don't.
But even all of that aside, it's just all right to ask for directed donor blood. That we don't have to have the same opinions.
Yeah.
Putting all of that aside.
It's such an easy matter to clear up, and you won't do it, and that seems like a bit of a criminal action to me.
Helicopter. How did that feel this morning, Cole, when they just walked out? When you were desperately trying to get them to listen to your perspective?
Well, it felt predictable, but at the same time, it's, you know, non-flexible people that have a complete ability to make right a situation and just won't, for their own, you know, position to be upheld.
Yes, it felt like a very inhuman reaction. Yep. I can tell you that at the end of that meeting, these two beautiful Kiwis turned to me and said, "What happens now?"
Yeah. Mm.
And these are two professionals who have walked out on their duty of care to these parents who are under such stress.
Yeah.
I am begging New Zealanders to help. The only way we can change this now in New Zealand is if we go absolutely nuclear on this story. And that means you need to share it person to person everywhere you can. Everybody who watches it needs to contact Jacinda Ardern.
That's right.
Needs to contact the head of Starship. Needs to contact the head of the blood bank. We'll put those references at the end. We'll put up their account to help them, because this is costing them a huge amount. All of this. We will do whatever we can to help them, but every Kiwi needs to write and say, "I will not have this in my country." And lastly, I need everybody to contact mainstream media and tell the Herald, tell TV1, tell TV3, you must cover this story. And I will put up a contact for these people so mainstream media can get directly through to them and do this. This needs to be front page. This baby could die with the jabbed blood. And I said to those people this morning, Sam, that death will be on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to do is a call to the head of the blood bank and say, "We want this blood cleared."
Yeah. It's that easy.
What would you like to say to this Prime Minister? Down that camera.
I'm speechless, actually. I never thought I'd be in this situation. And I never thought that, we would have to be dealing with this stuff. It's a nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
Cole, you're not the only
one. Well, we're supposed to be living in a free country with free elections and all the other benefits of a decent society, but yet we're sitting in here arguing with doctors that don't want to do things unless they have it completely their way. Seems a bit disgraceful.
I just begged them to listen to the parents. I said, "We used to listen to what our parents," and this mama knows that this is not good for Will. Can you finish by telling us what this little fella's like? I want everybody to see what a calm soul he is.
He is just the most amazing baby. He laughs, he giggles, he is so calm, he's so peaceful. He's got the eyes.
He's got the old
He's
got the old soul eyes, hasn't he, Sam?
And he's just waiting for, you know, life-saving surgery that they don't want to give him, basically, because they could easily just sign a piece of paper and he'll have that surgery and he's on his way to recovery and running around on the farm, but instead he's smouldering in here on bureaucratic decisions.
He's got eyes that look at you like he knows.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Please, New Zealand, take pity on our families here. Mm. And everybody come in and help, because the only way this will change is if thousands and thousands and thousands of us share this story,
yep,
and thousands ring the media and demand it's a mainstream story. They will crumple, yeah, if we get it on mainstream, and yes, there is horror at what this government is doing. I promise you. I promise you. I just want to help this family. Please help me help them. Please, I beg you. Thank you both. Anything else you would like to say, this beautiful little boy?
We just want, you know, this is urgent. So, so, so urgent. We just have to. We don't, you know, we're not, we just want it to take place. Desperate.
And to people who say, oh, just have it and put the blood in. What's your reply to that, Sam?
Have the blood yourself. Well, you know?
I have a responsibility to my child to, yeah, always do the best, and that is not the best.
That's right.
You know, a responsibility to all my children to do the best, you, yeah, know, and how can I, we don't know. We don't know if it's, if, oh,
that's okay. We'll just, we have to leave that, Jack, and be gentle. Just be,
see,
gentle.
He's yeah, a 2-year-old knee needs to be running around outside.
Yeah. We just have to be gentle. That's okay. We just be gentle. Sam, I wanted to follow up with something else as well. You've had meetings where, yeah, they have, I can only call it bullying. They've bullied you.
Mm. Yeah.
Would you just briefly, for Kiwis, explain what happened?
Well, our last meeting, not the one just gone, the one before that, they came to me. It was early in the morning, 9 o'clock. They said, we urgently need to see you at 9:30. I said, oh, what's the meeting about, you know? And I said, oh, okay. And I should have said, no, I don't have my husband. I want someone with me, but I didn't. And I went and I didn't record it. And basically, yeah, I was bullied. The doctor raised his voice at me and pretty much just tried to coerce me to sign the papers and then threatened to get lawyers onto me. So
and
that
a psychiatrist.
Is extraordinary. And a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I've been asked many times if I need to see the psychologist, because, and of course I'm going to be crying. I'm
of course you are. Pretty, you are one of the most calm mothers. I couldn't have imagined being in your position.
Yeah.
Of course you are. Mm. I know that you had permission to record the meetings, and we have some of what was in that meeting this morning on transcript, but some of the arrogant replies, it was shocking, even this morning.
Mm.
There was no interchange. There was a patronizing attitude to you about the research you've done.
Mm.
It was as if they are all-knowing and you're ignorant fools believing a science fiction horror story.
That's right.
That was the tone I got. Is that what you've had in those other meetings?
I think that's what her exact words were, actually.
It was.
Yeah.
Cole, you're a very intelligent, determined, warrior New Zealand man. How does that feel, talked down to like that?
Well, you know, it's understandable from these sort of people, you know, because, I mean, they're detached from, you know, the real people. And so that's only what you expect from them.
Mm.
I mean, hey, there's a place for those people, but it isn't in making life and death decisions for a baby with clear misinformation being believed by them. That's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of talk about misinformation, but I'm sorry to say that they're the ones that misinformed.
Absolutely. There's research overseas that's clear as a bell.
We've read it. We've seen it.
And we'll add some of that after. And Sam, could I say, I've only met you today, but your calm and your coping ability under this inordinate pressure is, I have never seen a mother coping as well as you are coping. You are absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, big one.
Last messages, because I think Jack wants to, a little bit of action. Sam, your final message to Kiwis who want to help. Maybe just looking down the camera.
We've tried everything. We've tried everything we knew to do, meeting upon meeting upon meeting, thinking that was going to...
They would listen.
That would be the reasonable thing to do. Nothing has helped. Nothing has worked. So that's why we're here. And we just ask that whatever anybody can do, please help us. You know, we need... Yep. He needs our help desperately.
Beautiful little fella. And Cole, your last message.
Oh, yeah. So, like, you know, a few years ago, none of this would have mattered because there wasn't the problem that there is. But now it's critical. It all matters. It matters for everyone in our society that they have a, you know, freedom of choice. Like, that's been completely taken away by, you know, the governments and the so-called powers. You know, most of us have made a freedom of choice, but this baby doesn't seem to qualify to have freedom of choice. They want to, you know, conduct medical experiments on them with unknown results, and we're not prepared for that. You know, we're not prepared to, you know, just offer our baby up to, you know, experimentation, and I know no one else would be. So, we, you know, we're standing not only for him but for all of us.
But the thing is, we have to have something done. I mean,
yeah.
Surgery is meant to be on Tuesday. It's Friday now.
And they are saying it's urgent, so it mustn't be very urgent to them. Otherwise, they would be, like, you know, bending over backwards to make it all happen.
And the surgeon this morning kept saying, I will not call the head of the blood bank. I would say, why? Repeatedly, why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, because I don't believe in what you're saying. And I said, we don't need your belief.
That's exactly it.
We just need to listen to the parents and what they want. Yes. If there is another surgeon out there who sees this and is filled with compassion, perhaps you would step in and take over this and call the head of the blood bank and ask why he will not okay this blood. Whoever has suggestions, whoever has contacts, whoever has a way to help this family, please contact me, liz.gunn@freenz.org, and I will put you in touch with this dear family and this beautiful little baby, this wise old soul who we have to save. Thank you.
And thank you both.
Thanks.
That was pretty darn sad. Pretty darn sad. Well, there's no sense in playing anything at this moment. No. But that's exactly what's going to start happening. You have lost. If we allow this to keep going, we are losing our way to be the way we want it to be. I mean, so go to cash, think clean living. You know, I would have never thought about the blood bank, not at this time, because I haven't known anybody who's needed surgery or whatever, but oh my gosh. There we go.
Yeah.
FreedomSlips.com.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Yeah. Go nuts. All right. Yeah, let's just take it here.
All right. Get going.
Did you forget something?
Yeah, I didn't state my pronouns before I entered the newsroom today. So embarrassing. It's the same kind of humiliation like if you've ever had a dream where you show up for work naked, but you don't realize it until you get to work. So embarrassing.
You are naked.
Didn't notice that. Surprisingly, not embarrassed, though. I must have forgotten to get dressed after I did the morning drag show for kids. Welcome to tonight's mental terrorism. The people are finding things out and our whole house of cards is crumbling, but we're still trying to save it with our top stories we'll deceive you about this evening. The CDC approves the
Coronavac
to become part of every child's inoculations. Moderna CEO says boosters aren't necessary, while Switzerland is destroying 10 million doses. Researchers have created a variant in a lab with an 80% kill rate. Thank God they're doing that. Censorship might just be losing the war on free speech. And a new poll shows the majority of people believe the mainstream media is a threat to our democracy. And those people can go screw themselves, as we'll attempt to shape your thinking about that and more in just a moment. But first, in what could possibly go wrong with this news, researchers at the University of Boston have created a colon variant that has an 80% kill rate on mice that they've tested it on. I like to think of people as just future mice. But some people who are being misled by the misinformation of common sense and lessons from past mistakes are shocked that the researchers would be doing this. But these free-thinking morons simply don't understand the benefits that come from creating a variant with an 80% kill rate. The benefit of this breakthrough research is that if they can somehow manage to keep the variant from escaping from the lab, then no catastrophic harm to humanity will be done. So it's a cool way for them to practice containment. The other main benefit is that if a bat were to get into the lab and then spread this variant to people while it's doing bat things, then could you imagine the level of compliance it would create? Could be great for business. But will it happen?
I think so.
Can't wait. But the Boston researchers pushed back, saying their research made the virus replicate less dangerously. And they went on to say, ultimately, this research will provide a public benefit by leading to better, targeted therapeutic interventions to help fight future pandemics. Those future pandemics are the ones we can't wait to benefit from. I think we'll be able to stick the landing on passports in the next one. Moving along. A journalist investigating Biden has been raided by the FBI and hasn't been heard from since. And we're not going to cover this one. What's next? A recent poll reveals that many Americans believe the mainstream media is a threat to our democracy. I am outraged. In the poll, 71% of people said they believe that our democracy is under threat in the U.S. And of those people, 59% said the mainstream media is a major threat, while 25% consider mainstream media a minor threat. They think we're a threat to democracy? If that's not misinformation, then I don't know what is. Nothing could be further from the truth. Let me break it down for you. Our core ethos at the media are for us to be pro-censorship, anti-free speech, pro-narrative, anti-truth. We do our very best to influence elections by smearing the political opponents of our anti-democracy administration. We promote the irreversible mutilization and sterilization of children, promote racism every chance we get. We wipe our butts with the Nuremberg Code and smear it in your face, with 75% of our funding coming from pharmaceutical companies. And accordingly, we've done our very best over the past couple of years to create a second class of citizens, all wrapped in the context of terrorizing you with fear so you'll be more controllable. So for the soulless life of all of us at the media, we cannot understand why so many people think we're a threat to democracy. They're simply incorrect. If anything, we're the ones who are trying to save our democracy based on what we tell you to think. By the way, the fine folks who control our puppet strings didn't approve those people to think those thoughts in the poll. So with the upcoming social credit score system we'll be pushing, they'll be sorry. Look forward to seeing the polls after that. Moving along. In our efforts to be even better at clubbing your mind like a baby seal with our fear-mongering, we have breaking news! We've just received reports that a completely uncensored comedy special is being released today. It's called Please Censor This, by so-called comedian and confirmed dangerous extremist J.P. Sears. In spite of the ever-growing censorship that big tech uses to protect you, the comedian found a way to stick a middle finger in the face of the censors to bring Please Censor This to the world by partnering with free speech platforms Rumble and Locals. This leaves us utterly helpless in our efforts to censor, shut down, and ban what the Thought Police definitely don't approve of. Worse yet, Please Censor This is the first ever comedy special made specifically for freedom lovers by a freedom lover, which is obviously fascism and threatens our democracy and our whole damn agenda. However, even though this special is causing more outrage and harm than using the wrong pronoun on a college campus, it is being tyrannically acclaimed by some of your favorite leaders. Here's what they had to say. There's no insider trading information in it. It sucks. Nancy Pelosi. Please Censor This came from a bat and we need to slow the spread. Anthony Fauci. How did he get away with this? Mark Zuckerberg. False. The fact checkers. Because of Please Censor This, we need to close schools and shut down all businesses. Gavin Newsom. My wife is not a man and I despise this comedy special. Former president and probably current president Barack Obama. We need to kill comedy and it should count as a COVID death. The CDC. Please Censor This caused January 6th. Liz Cheney. My speechwriters didn't write anything for me to say about it. Former Vice President Joe Biden. This is literally violence. Blue-haired lady in Portland. I'm not showing this in my concentration camps. Justin Trudeau. Abortions are the only way to get Please Censor This shut down. Stacey Abrams. It's really good if you watch it on crack. Hunter Biden. I never flew on his jet. Bill Clinton. They love it, I guess. But you should hate it. Do not get access to Please Censor This by going to pleasecensorthis.com, where you can also get a VIP bonus edition with full access to the Freedom Lovers community. In the meantime, we'll continue working hard to shut this thing down in our ongoing efforts to protect you from the three biggest dangers in our country: free speech, truth, and comedy. Back to the stuff we're in control of. In a unanimous vote of 15-0, the CDC has voted to recommend the jab be included in the childhood schedule. This means the high-risk category of babies as young as 6 months old will get it. It also means that your child won't be able to go to school unless you change their gender identity to guinea pig and comply like you should. The CDC's ruling comes just a week after the scientifically powerful testimony of a Pfizer executive when she told the European Parliament that their product has never been tested to see if it stops transmission. This even though the company has been proven to purport that it does stop transmission. But good healthy guesswork is simply the speed at which science moves. The CDC's vote stands on even stronger validity when you consider that the product also doesn't stop infection, which is further evidence that all children should be subjected to it. But the CDC's ruling gains even more credibility as the Moderna CEO came out the next day saying people under the age of 50 don't need boosters. This as Switzerland announces they'll be destroying and disposing of 10 million doses that they've previously purchased from the pharmaceutical giants. While in Denmark, they're no longer recommending the product for people under the age of 50. A near flawless combination of events that leaves no question about the CDC's integrity in protecting the pharmaceutical companies from parents and children who don't care about profits. Meanwhile, Pfizer has just announced they'll be hiking the price of their product by 400%. I guess because it's more valuable than ever now. This just in! Hillary Clinton without makeup is George Soros. And in Canada, Dr. Makis, the author of over 100 peer-reviewed publications, is urging the Canadian Medical Association to investigate the 80 deaths of young doctors in Canada, which is an increase of 800% more deaths above the baseline, for some reason. Well, if we have anything to do with it, and we do, I don't think they'll find anything unusual about these unusual deaths.
That's it for tonight's news. People are finding things out. We don't like it, and our whole house of cards is crumbling. But we can't stop now because we don't want to go to jail. And please censor this as available now. Don't watch it.
Good night.
Yeah, I think it's a deer antler or something. I'm not totally sure. Hey, I wanted to...
Okay. Yeah, I like him. Yes. Somebody fix something. Nummy smelling. Of course, I wouldn't eat it, but still, you get this aroma.
Welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Nobody wants to talk about COVID anymore, and that's certainly understandable. This country lost so much in 2 years, it's depressing to think about it. And the instinct is just to move on. But unfortunately, we don't have that luxury, and for two reasons. First, politicians are continuing to use the virus as a pretext to force their agendas on an unwilling and weary population. That's happening still, believe it or not. And second, and maybe more significantly long-term, somebody's got to rescue science from the ideologues who all of a sudden have taken it over. Science must be objective. Science must be honest. Otherwise, everything falls apart. So with that in mind, this story. In April of last year, researchers at the CDC concluded a months-long study of thousands of healthcare workers. They included first responders, nurses, physicians. The point of the study was to assess whether the COVID vaccine was working. Researchers split the healthcare workers into two groups, vaccinated and unvaccinated, and then they watched. What they found was so significant that the head of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, went directly to MSNBC to tell the world what researchers had found. And here's what she said. This is word for word. Quote, "Our data from the CDC today suggests that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick. And that's not just in clinical trials, but also in real-world data." Now, that turned out not simply to be untrue, but in some sense to be the opposite of the truth. In some cases, the vaccinated are more likely to get variants of COVID. The death rates around the world for the vaccinated are extraordinarily high. But at the time, anyone who had doubts about what Rochelle Walensky said was told to shut up. Those who questioned her out loud were kicked off social media. If you kept questioning, you might be fired from your job. Doubting Rochelle Walensky's promises, doubting the Biden administration's claims about the COVID vaccine, was totally unacceptable. It was like questioning their views on herd immunity or mandatory masking for children or airline passengers or closing the schools. Now that we know that virtually everything they said about COVID was wrong, however, no one has admitted it and no one has been punished. No one at the CDC was fired for this. In fact, they were elevated. Under Joe Biden, the people who made these claims, these false claims, have even more power than ever. Rochelle Walensky is back on television. She's demanding that parents force their children as young as 6 months old to take the COVID shot. They're all saying this. Tony Fauci, Joe Biden too. Watch. Amazingly, despite all of their demonstrated failures, all of their documented dishonesty, those three people are still, as of tonight, in charge of this country's response to COVID. It's remarkable if you think about it. So parents thinking about how to treat their own children are in a very tough position. One of the COVID shots that Walensky and Fauci and Biden are telling you to give your small kids is manufactured by Moderna. Now, you might recall that Moderna's COVID vaccine for adults was suspended from use in several countries after researchers found that it caused potentially very dangerous heart inflammation in young people. The other COVID vaccine that's been approved for toddlers in the United States is made by Pfizer. Pfizer's vaccine for adults has also been linked to heart damage, to myocarditis in young people. So a lot of parents are wondering, should we give this to our toddler? How do we find the answer? Virtually every news show in America seems to be sponsored by Pfizer. So clearly turning on television is not going to give you an answer you can trust. You need to find an independent, science-minded researcher or physician who's looked at the actual data. And there are very few who've done that and are willing to be honest about it. Marty McCary of Johns Hopkins University is one of them. He's just written a remarkable piece in Barry Weiss's Substack, and he wrote it with epidemiologist Tracy Hogue. McCary and Hogue found that Pfizer and Moderna provided, and we're quoting, extremely weak, inconclusive data to justify vaccinating children as young as 6 months in the United States. Quote, using a three-dose vaccine in 992 children between the ages of 6 months and 5 years, Pfizer found no statistically significant evidence of vaccine efficacy, they wrote.
Right.
In the subgroup of children aged 6 months to 2 years, the trial found that the vaccine could result in a 99% lower chance of infection, but that they also have a 370% increased chance of being infected.
Oh, jeez.
What does that mean? We have no idea. We don't know how you would know because those data are completely incoherent. They do not present a picture that suggests a path forward. They're inherently confusing. Meanwhile, Moderna, quote, claimed a very weak vaccine efficacy of just 4% in children aged 6 months to 2 years. That is not a statistically significant result either. So based on those numbers, and apparently those are the underlying numbers, how could the Biden administration, how could the people who run public health in the United States of America push for the immediate vaccination of children over the ages of 6 months? We need to assess what exactly these data are and why public health agencies seem to be ignoring them.
Well, they're ignoring them because they don't get, the hospitals and doctors don't get paid that extra ka-ching for not following what they're saying is supposed to be happening. Just saying, jeez. I mean, very crazy. Yep. If you can't figure out by now, man doesn't know his ass from the hole in the ground. And he doesn't deserve all the flippin' attention that seems to be getting. Because they're not in our favor. It's not in our favor at all. And that's the worst part, really. Is that there is no favor in for us at all. Nada, 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 nada. Nada. Nope, not in our favor. All right.
Home, we need an opportunity to laugh and to get some perspective, so we're bringing in comedian and YouTuber JP Sears for our help with that. All right, JP, first of all, you're stuck at home, I'm working from home. Just give me your thoughts on all of this.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I have thoughts on it. It's not as weird as we think. I think it's weirder than we can think. And of course, outside of all the tragedy for some people and some families with their health and jobs, it's added all up, man. It's weird beyond comprehension, I think.
Yeah, I was saying there are no words to describe the time, the unprecedented time that we're living in right now. How's it going at home? You and your wife not leaving the house together, and everybody getting along okay?
Yeah, we're getting along fine, but I divorced my wife 2 days ago as a form of social distancing. To me, it's like an act of preventative medicine because I realized, like, oh, she's a living organism, so she could potentially contract the coronavirus. The downside of this medical practice that I initiated is she can't leave the home now that I divorced her, so...
That's awkward.
Seems like it just resulted in unnecessary conflict.
Did you have people reaching out to you going, hey, either help me laugh or find perspective in all of this?
Yeah, you know, honestly, yes. I've been a guest speaker in many different Zoom meetings now where, you know, so many people are running their events via Zoom and they're bringing me in. I was just on one again yesterday, but they're bringing me in to bring some laughs and levity to what undoubtedly is a heavy situation for everyone. So I'm enjoying I'm enjoying being able to contribute what I can contribute to help people laugh during a stressful time. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I tonight I'm going to do every Friday until the quarantine's over, I'm going to do a live stream comedy show. Because I'm thinking, like, I want to give people a night out in their own home. So I'm doing everything I can to make people laugh as much as I can. Unfortunately, I can't make my wife laugh anymore. Being stuck at home, she's heard all my jokes 39 times.
Speaking of that, though, you guys posted a funny YouTube video. Our show's family-friendly, but just kind of about being intimate during the time of the coronavirus, and you actually have some really creative ways y'all came up with.
Thank you, Heather, and we'll leave all of them to the imagination to be family-friendly. And I've also had to come up with ways, put out another video on how to create toilet paper substitutes when we inevitably run out of toilet paper in this toilet paper apocalypse.
So what'd you come up with?
Kale. The health conscious community has long thought of kale as a nutrient dense food, but anybody who knows anything about what good tasting food tastes like knows that kale tastes like crap, which makes it a perfect match for the exact hygienic situation people have on their rear ends. So, and with that, we also know the high fiber content of kale gives it a stronger structural integrity than even the leading brand of actual toilet paper.
And you know this how?
Well, I'm a man of the people, Heather. So when the people are in need, I'm out to find solutions. I'm on the front lines experimenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for being our honorary toilet paper substitute guinea pig in all of this.
You're welcome. I feel like I should earn like the Brown Medal of Honor or something.
I don't even want to see what that would look like. Hey, thanks for keeping us laughing, though. You said that you're going to be every Friday doing a live show. Where can folks find that?
Yeah. There, my website, awakenwithjp.com/live. And that'll let you connect into my live stream comedy show, which I'm calling Friday Night Still Alive.
Friday Night Still Alive. I like it. And work things out with your wife, will you? For us?
That's good advice, Heather. I'll work on it.
Hi, guys. I'm Liv Langdon, the nutrition and food manager at Onnit. And today I have a very special guest, JP Sears. I'm excited to have him with us. And
But we're not going to go that far because the day is over here for this show. I want to thank everybody for coming and joining me, and please don't forget we are listener supported, so do us that favor and come to the homepage and do a donate click, yeah, best thing ever, and no amount is too large or too small. Seriously.
Now that you see how blatantly the midterms have been stolen, how many other times have you been played? The Green New Deal, the pandemic and the vax, Sandy Hook and the courts, the missing gas chambers, bio and chem labs in Ukraine, Bill Binney, Catherine Horton, Nick Kohlerstrom, Ole Damgaard, Tina Pollard-Sachs, and many more. You don't want to miss my third annual False Flags and Conspiracies Virtual Conference, 3 to 4 December 2022. 24 speakers, 26 presentations. Check it out at jameshfetzer.org. This one is for history.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Don't miss the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.